Hey everybody, it's Brad Williams and Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by White Cloud e-cigarettes.
We're not saying you should start smoking, but if you already do, awesome. And if you've ever wanted to try an e-cigarette, these are the ones to go with. White Cloud e-cigarettes offers over 20 flavors. That's almost as many as Baskin-Robbins. 20 flavors and 6 nicotine strengths. It's cheaper than other e-cigarettes that you'll see at convenience stores and with much more variety. White Cloud e-cigarettes sponsors comedians. They've been doing it for over 2 years now. They've also sponsored comedy festivals like the Boston Comedy Festival and the Orlando Indie Comedy Festival. If you've ever been curious about trying an e-cigarette, I have. Well, the Fling is the low-cost, no-commitment way to do so. And the Fling offers same-day UPS shipping on orders before 6 p.m. Eastern.
But is there a website?
Customers can go to WCESigs.com. That's WCESigs.com.
But we want to make sure our listeners get them for cheap. So is there a coupon code?
To get 25% off of the order, use the coupon code ALNPODCAST. That's ALNPODCAST at WCESigs.com to get your White Cloud e-cigarettes today. And now, enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Hey, everybody, it's Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Thanks so much for listening, subscribing on iTunes, Stitcher, listening on your iPhone or Android device. We appreciate all the support. Podcast is jamming along, and we appreciate all the support. You guys listening and tweeting at us and emailing us and buying your ABL and merch is the reason we do what we do. I just started crying. But this is so much fun, and having the interaction with our listeners makes it way cooler, man. So keep subscribing, keep listening. AboutLastNightPodcast.com for all past episodes. Today's episode is one of my favorites we've done in a while. His third time on the podcast today is the one and only Harlan Williams, Half-Baked, Something About Mary, Rocket Man, Sorority Boys, the whole nine yards. His sitcom that he just finished up in Canada with Pam Anderson and Eugene Levy called Package Deal is making its way to the States, which we'll talk about that. We talked about the pranks that Harlan used to pull growing up in Toronto, and just hilarious stories. This guy's just, you see how funny he is now and on stage. And to me, he's one of the funniest dudes off stage. Nobody makes me laugh harder, and today's podcast is no exception. Follow Harlan on Twitter at Harlan Williams. Go to his YouTube channel and subscribe to him. He's got hilarious videos that are so out there and original some of the funniest shit I've ever seen. And we get into it on the podcast because we try to get inside Harlan's brain for a minute to see where some of these ideas stew from. He also released some music that he's been working on with the Bare Naked Ladies. We get into that, as well as his podcast, The Harlan Highway, which you can get on iTunes and the All Things Comedy Network, allthingscomedy.com. The Harlan Highway. Listen to it. It's hilarious. There's a lot of podcasts out there, and Harlan has found a really awesome original take. He does a lot of characters and interviews. It's only about 30 minutes. I've been on it twice, so you can look up those past episodes. It's the best. Harlan's the best. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy. Follow Brad on Twitter at Funny Brad. I will be at the Ice House in Pasadena April 23rd at 10 o'clock for Comedy Juice. I will be at Flappers in Burbank April 28th at 10 o'clock. And then May 7th through the 9th, I hit the road again. I go to Scottsdale, Arizona. Headlining Stand Up Scottsdale for 5 shows, May 7th, 8th, and 9th. Get your tickets at standupscottsdale.com. And then I'll also be at the Comedy Mix in Vancouver, BC. This will be my second time there. Super pumped to go back. It's such a great club. Vancouver's one of the coolest cities ever. And it's so close to Seattle, so it makes me feel like I'm getting a little bit of the Northwest when I get up there. That's happening May 21st through the 23rd. Get your tickets at comedymix.com. Brad Williams, he's on the road, back in action. And you can see Brad at the Ice House in Pasadena April 24th and 25th. I was going to be at those shows, but I'm doing some colleges with Adam Devine, so I'm not going to be able to make it. Super bummed, but Brad's going to crush it. So go see him at the Ice House April 24th and 25th. And then he'll be at the Cleveland Improv in Cleveland, Ohio, April 30th through May 3rd. Get your tickets at improv.com. And then, of course, Brad will be at the Dayton Funny Bone in Dayton, Ohio, May 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th. Of course, get all your ABL and merch at estoymerchandise.com, estoymerchandise.com. What better way to support the podcast than get shirts and mugs that have the podcast on them? I mean, these coffee mugs, we've got our own. They're awesome. The picture of Brad and I on the Titanic cruise ship is hilarious. So why wouldn't you want to wear a funny shirt that's a great icebreaker at parties? You support the podcast. Yeah, you cover your body when it's, you know, in any place where you're supposed to wear a shirt. Or when it's cold, you're like, thank God I've got a shirt on because it's cold in here. And then you're warm and you're supporting the pod and people go, what's that? That's a hilarious picture. Oh, it's this cool-ass podcast I listen to. What's it called? About Last Night. Oh, I already listened to that. They have shirts? Yeah, man, don't you fucking listen to the intros? No, I don't. Well, fucking, you need to, man. So get all your merch at estoymerchandise.com and support the podcast. Those are all the tour dates. Those are the Twitter handles. That's all the merch info. So now, ladies and gentlemen, sit back, relax, and enjoy a very special, hilarious episode of the About Last Night podcast with third-time guest, our buddy, Harlan Williams.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. A dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's About Last Night.
I didn't know we were on.
I mean, we'll start where we start, but we just like to sit down and start talking.
Oh,
well, yeah. Or do you want a couple buffer minutes?
I was going to do some crunches and stuff.
Okay. Some Captain Crunches?
If you just want, if you got them,
sure.
I'll take them. Peanut butter.
Peanut butter jelly time?
Peanut butter Captain Crunch, my favorite.
That's good. He probably is the, if you were to put all the serial characters like in a wrestling ring, or just like if, let's say the world came to a point to where, like, you know, we didn't have a president that was a person and we opened it up. You know what? I haven't smoked pot in 2 weeks, so this is a completely sober thought.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wish you wouldn't laugh, Brad.
No, I'm laughing because it's funny.
And it's true.
Yeah. But like, Captain Crunch probably would be the guy.
A great president?
Well,
he's a leader. He's a captain.
Yeah, he's a captain. So he's got military background.
Yep.
He's got that experience.
That's what I'm going with. You wouldn't want, like, Tony the Tiger is just way too positive. Everything is great for him.
Everything's great.
Everything's great.
Yeah.
And I think the Sugar Smack Frog is like, kind of a little bit of a spaz.
He's coked out.
Yeah.
He's
so
coked out. He's cracked out.
You want him. And then the Trix Bunny would be so distracted just trying to get the kids' tricks.
Yeah.
So I think that's a solid
I don't think that in Toucan Sam the world's not ready for a parrot president.
Wow.
Yeah, I'll say it.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I'm feeling very racist vibes coming from you.
Now would your people be all about
my people?
About Lucky Charms?
Well, I mean, obviously, it's kind of like when Barack Obama was running. I knew some black people that were like, listen, I don't like the guy, but he's a black president. I have to vote for him.
Yeah.
So if one of my people is running, yeah, he's getting my vote. Wow. It's happening. I don't care if he wants to take away the horseshoe marshmallow. He's still getting my vote. Don't care. Timing with
that
the
was
phone.
Was that Lucky?
That was.
I think Lucky just appeared.
He's calling me right now and going, "Well,
shiver me timbers! Did somebody mention my name? I needed a campaign manager. I'm running for president. Shiver me timbers!
That would be a great fucking, you know,
your slogan.
Yeah,
vote for Lucky for president. Shiver me timbers!
Like I thought he was a leprechaun. He's a pirate.
I think he's a lumberjack. No, what is shiver me timbers?
That's a pirate.
Yeah,
that's a pirate.
He could be a pirate. He's magic. He could be whatever he wants.
Sure.
He could be a ballerina if he wants.
Why are you trying to limit him just because he's a dwarf, Adam?
Oh, don't box him in, dude.
Yeah. Way too soon for both of you.
Too soon. Jesus.
But Harlan, what I was going to tell you is that you, one of the times you were on this podcast, you told us that you go into an audition and you make up a story about you hitting a dog.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the dog, like, flying and then, like, hitting someone else.
Sure,
And it just becomes so absurd. I started doing that.
Oh, good. Did it work?
It did. I booked something that's going to come out April 20th. It's the second season of Deadbeat on Hulu. So, yeah, if you got Hulu, Watch Deadbeat, second season. I'll be showing up there as a white guy that's acting black named Tyson.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So my advice actually helped you.
Yes.
Oh, that's good. I'm really happy to hear that.
Yeah,
that's congratulations.
Yeah, so I wanted to thank you for that. Now, do you have any other hot audition tips? Have you been trying anything new recently?
Have you ever heard the term butterfly shrimp?
I'm very scared to say. I'm very scared to ask about that. But no, I've not heard.
Well, if you have any mini skirts in your wardrobe, did you ever see Fatal Instinct with Sharon Stone?
Oh yeah, when she does the leg crossing.
She does
thing.
The leg thing.
Yeah,
and in the middle of your read, just do the butterfly shrimp. Let it flap.
Now,
and if you do enough exercises and you can get it to whistle, just in the middle,
booked it.
Yeah.
All right. So, like, start doing my Kegel exercises. What you're trying to say?
Keebler? What'd you say?
Kegels?
Oh, Kegel exercise. Well, that's exciting news. I'm trying to think if there's any other techniques that I used. Believe it or not, this is a weird one, but it might work.
Okay.
And it worked for me because there was a time when I was going through my divorce where I was very low. I was very depressed. It's probably the most depressed I've ever been in my life.
Sure. We've all had it.
And the last thing I wanted to do was go in and audition.
Right. And be false happy. Yeah.
Right. And I couldn't shake my feelings of sadness and that depression. And so I just decided to take it into the room with me.
Okay.
And so I read for a movie, The Whole Nine Yards.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I almost turned around. I was so depressed that day. I couldn't find the place. It was one of these auditions where it was in a weird spot.
Yeah, it's like someone's house.
Right.
It's like weird. It's an office building.
No, not casting couch auditions. Brad,
oh, sorry. I've done that a few times.
Where you go to somebody's apartment and the guy's like, you're cool with the camera, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. And next thing you're doing the butterfly shrimp. Yeah. With melted butter. Yeah. Yeah. Believe me, I know.
It's like you're describing my last week.
Yeah. But I went down to do The Whole Nine Yards, the Bruce Willis movie.
Yeah, you were so funny then.
And I
played the hitman.
I got this was before we had iPhones and GPS and all that, and you basically had to get directions from your agent or manager
and just trust that it was
right. Yeah, and so I got down into this funky area in Culver City. This place where they're in the middle of the road. There's one of those weird hotels that's like, it looks like if you're a fat person, you couldn't get in. There's one in New York. They're in the middle of the sidewalk. Yeah. They're little thin hotels. Yeah. They're famous. There's one in Culver City. Mm-hmm. And so I couldn't figure out where I was going. And I called my manager and I was like, I was getting mad because I was already in a state. And I was like, where is this place? Mm-hmm. And I was already around the corner, upset and depressed. And so I just said, I'm not fucking going. I'm not going. And then at the last second, I saw it. I saw the building I needed to see. And so I went, okay, I'm here. I know I'm mad, but so I went into the room with that kind of cloak of depression on me and kind of that, and I carried that into the read. And I think that the producers and the casting people felt that I had kind of this brooding, like deep actor kind of persona going. And I wasn't trying to disguise it, but I used that for my audition to be very like kind of distant and hands off and as a much different approach than usually I go into the room and try to get the giggles going and stuff like that. And then another movie came up, Sorority Boys, which I did. And same thing, I was still fresh into my divorce, and I went, and they told me they wanted to see me, and I got to Disney, and I came around the corner, and there was a bit of a line. There was like seven guys waiting to go in, and I literally just turned around and walked away. I just didn't have the mental energy to be there. I was in such a bad place, so I just left. I turned around, and I blew off the audition, And they called later that day, and they say, where's Harlow? I said, I couldn't do it. I said, I'm not going to stand in a line. I wasn't being a prima donna, but I couldn't mentally be there.
Yeah, okay.
And so they had me come back the next day just on my own. Mm-hmm. And so, again, I just used that energy that I had, and I went in, and the audition was a whole other story on its own, but I carried that energy where I walked into the room where I wasn't trying to make everyone in the room happy. I was just kind of in this insulated zone.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, maybe that's another tip that I'm not saying go out and get depressed, but I'm saying you don't have to go in and put on a show or be Mr. Chuckles. It's like maybe one time go in and try to internalize and just be kind of like this quiet, hey, how you doing? You know, like, and see what, because a lot of times people don't know this, when you go into auditions, let's say you're going in to read as, you know, a tough guy or a badass or maybe someone who's got, you know, social problems or whatever. And a lot of times you go in a certain mindset where you're locked into the character, you're locked into the zone, and all the casting people and the producers start talking, hey, how you doing? Where you been?
Yeah.
What's the latest? Oh, yeah, you went to Bermuda. You caught a fish. And suddenly they inadvertently pull you out of that energy.
Right, because like, you're sitting there trying to be like the tough guy. The tough guy wouldn't talk about his trip to Bermuda.
Right, you've mentally prepared. You've got the lines in your head. You've got the character. And suddenly they take it out of you by asking you ridiculous questions, and sometimes if you go in kind of in a darker mood, you can kind of just kind of
stay more neutral,
sense it, and just, you know, just go in and read and be kind of dark. But anyways,
wait, what happened in Sorority Boys? You said that was a whole other story.
Sorority Boys, because I was kind of in a weird place.
Yeah,
I wasn't really up for auditioning. I didn't really want to do anything, and I got the script and they asked me to read it, so I read it. But I just read my sides.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a little confused by it, but I went in and I sat down and I read the whole, you know, I think I read three scenes.
So you hadn't read the script?
I hadn't read the script.
You just read your sides.
I just read my sides.
Your scenes, a handful of scenes. So you didn't even totally know what the film was? Or?
Right. So I read by my scenes. It took a while. And then at the end they go, Harlan, that was fantastic. That was great. I go, thank you very much. And they said, can you do it again? And I said, I guess if you want. And they go, can you do it as a girl? And I looked. I go, as a girl? What? And then I realized Sorority Boys, I was playing a girl. And I'd done the whole first audition as a dude. And I realized, like, sitting there, I'm supposed to be reading this as a woman.
It all just clicked in for you.
And I switched gears, like, faster than a Ferrari rolling down, you know, Merle Griffin's eyelids. I don't even know what that means, but...
I mean, I'm pretty sure that's a common reference.
Yeah. Hey, who's Merle Griffin?
I don't know, but you know what?
I want to meet her.
Go with it. Yeah. And for our listeners, they're like, what kind of reference is that? Harlan's Canadian, okay? That's a common phrase up in Canada.
Yeah.
You know, just faster than a Ferrari down Merle Griffin's
eyelids.
Hey,
do you think that's happened in other movie audition history where, like, maybe Harrison Ford went in for Indiana Jones and they were like, and he read it as a woman and they were like, Harrison, great. Can we try it as a dude? Because it is Indiana Jones.
Oh,
and he's
I
thought that was a woman.
I'm sure I'm not the first to not understand the material. Believe me. But if my first tip worked for it, maybe this one will. Try going in kind of a brooding mood and see if that helps.
Brooding dwarf.
Yeah,
I like
just
that.
Kind of internalize everything.
It is not a bad suggestion because there's been times where I go in and I'm like, God, was I trying to be too much in the room beforehand, and maybe that like backfired.
Yeah, don't push it.
Maybe they're just like, hey, man, just do what you're coming in here for.
And
they can also sense from that. I mean, even like with minimal small talk, they can tell if you're a piece of shit or not, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
I mean, probably just the way you enter the room and smile or don't smile.
Yeah, you know, I don't know, but
if you're good, they're looking at what you're auditioning. So it's like if you're good, they're gonna want to. Then they'll investigate. Okay, is he like? What have you heard about him? How he is on set and stuff, right?
Yeah, I think where you're going is I think when we go into audition, a lot of times we carry that energy where we're concerned what they think, how they're evaluating us, and I guess the point of in that period of my life when I was kind of down. When you go in that frame of mind, you don't give a crap what they think because you're mentally not prepared to share. You're just in this dark cloud.
Yeah.
And
you're in a state of mind where you're thinking, listen, this is not the most important thing in my life.
Exactly. And you just
I got other shit going on.
That's it. And you just roll in and you don't care. And I'm not saying go out and get depressed, but if you can tap into that type of energy, maybe that's a tip. That
well, it's kind of like picking up on women where you're like, it's like they're attracted to the guys that don't want them or vice versa.
Yeah, right,
you know,
right.
You're attracted to the guy, you know, if you go up to a girl and, hey, I'd really like to take you out and whatever you want, or we can go to whatever place you want to go. And then the girl's like, oh, God. But then a guy like Adam Ray just walks in and says, eh, show up. I might be there.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, my God, that's a great thing that you do all the time.
That's not my move at all.
That's totally your move.
I appreciate the sentiment.
I do the butterfly. I walk right up and give them a full butterfly.
Full shrimp.
With olive oil. Yeah. Oh, they go nuts. It's like that guy that, the Pied Piper who whistled on his flute and the rats followed him home. I'll get a line out of the Shark Club following me back to the Motel 6.
You're a classy guy, Harlan Williams.
Yeah.
Have you ever, or you could try this, where you audition hungover. I did that for an Olive Garden commercial once. I was wearing they said, dress nice casual. So I wore a Reading Rainbow t-shirt and a sport coat.
Wow, and,
nice casual.
Please tell me you got it.
I should have. Oh. I think this was a case where I was probably too hungover, and they probably, the casting director was, he goes, now let's just, you guys are all eating and having dinner before the dialogue starts, and just, and improvise like what you would be saying if you're just friends at a dinner table.
Right.
And so somebody just start talking, and then I'll let you know when to go into the scene. So it starts, and I just go, has anybody seen Jurassic Park 3? I go, and by the way, one guy looked like he was getting ready to speak, like he was going to start the improv, and I immediately intercepted. I was like, no, I'm going to start this conversation off. So I he started to go, hey, can somebody pass? And I go, who's seen Jurassic Park 3? And then they all turn to me like, the fuck?
Wow.
And then I go, can I be honest? Not that great. I go, no Sam Neill, so that's bullshit. And then the guy goes, cut. He goes, so maybe just about the food and about like what you guys are doing.
Whoa.
But it's like, hey, that's typical conversation you'd have at an Olive Garden.
Yeah.
You'd be talking about the movies you saw, or you'd be you're on a date, so you're trying to impress her, or like you're out with the group.
With my knowledge of Sam Neill.
The fact you were hungover, had you puked all over the audition, that would have been something you always see at an Olive Garden. People puking up food.
Puking up breadsticks.
That would be very real.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, and so then they just started it over again after that. Like, let's talk about the food.
He goes, maybe someone else should start the conversation off.
Oh, boy. What an arse. Have you honestly ever puked at Olive Garden?
I've puked after.
Yeah. After. The food is so, like, weird. I ate you know, lasagna comes in a square?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I puked up that exact square.
block.
There was a tile loose in my bathroom, and I used it. I actually just left it there and patted it down. It fit perfectly.
Why not?
Yeah. It was a square puke. Too soon?
Way too soon.
I've got to ask you about something that you posted recently. It's on your YouTube channel. You're on the beach, and classical music is playing, and you're like directing a bunch of crabs that are running up the beach.
Conducting. Recently, I just posted that like 2 hours ago.
2 hours ago?
Like I swear, probably I did it today. About 4 or 5 hours ago.
Brad refreshes all of your
amazing
social media pages.
I do some research, and I'm looking like, were you just on the, like, did you plan that? Were you on the beach and saw a bunch of crabs? What happened?
I was down in Florida, and it was there's a season where these little tiny fiddler crabs come out from a long winter's rest underground. And they come out in the hundreds of thousands.
Yeah.
And I was on a beach down in Florida, and there were just, like, as far as you could see, there were these fiddler crabs, and there were so many that when they moved, it looked like the beach was moving.
Holy shit.
Like, it was just a carpet of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I put my iPhone down on the beach, and I just kind of ran out behind these guys in a pair of rubber boots, and I started chasing them all over like a farmer chasing cattle. And these things were running back and forth in front of my camera lens.
Yeah.
And so I came home. I got, this has really kind of got some fluidity to it. So I put some classical music behind it. And it's really quite a beautiful,
really
orchestrated
piece.
It
looked like one of those Nature Channel documentaries with Harlan Williams just kind of in the back directing traffic.
Yeah, I'm just directing these thousands of crabs. It's like a minute long. And yeah, check out my YouTube channel and you can see it.
You would be a great documentarian narrator, by the way. Like,
Has
anyone ever proposed that idea to you?
No.
Yeah, I think
you heard Oprah and
Carlin Williams out in nature.
Yes.
Like a nature show? Should I try it?
Fuck yeah, dude.
All right, here we go. The elephant has the longest nose in the animal kingdom, as witnessed as this herd of African elephants, these behemoths, stand in the sunset, swing their noses back between their legs, and suck their own balls. Yeah, you're right. That's not bad.
I want to watch that show.
I want to watch that documentary.
I want to watch that
elephants
right now.
Elephants suck? You want to see that?
I mean, wow. Normally, you got to go to really dark corners of the internet to find that video.
Yeah.
But if they can maybe blur it out
for
butterfly.com.
TV. Butterfly.com.
All right, butterfly. Okay. Whoa. Okay. That's some...
Wow.
Wow. That's
Jesus.
Some creepy stuff.
Wow. But, that's an honest reaction.
Yeah.
but your YouTube channel is so, there's another video where there's you're slamming a puppet's head in the fridge.
this video is all, you know, it's really taken off. It's my most popular video. There's two of them.
Mm-hmm.
They're called I call them the Bratty Kids.
Yeah, yeah. The screaming one. I think I messaged you after I watched that.
Yeah, did you like it?
It was maybe one of the funniest things I've seen in my entire
life. Oh, my God, yeah.
Where they're just screaming.
Yeah.
What is it called on YouTube? Because right now, while you're listening to this, either look it up now and save it for later, or take a break from the podcast and watch it. What's it called on YouTube?
It's called The Brat Kids. Yeah. There's episode one, and then I just posted episode two where they're slamming their mother's head in the fridge door. But basically, I found these rubber puppets like years ago.
From what?
At a shop on Melrose.
Okay, it wasn't like you found them in an attic. And...
No, they sold them, and then there was this Mexican company that made these rubber puppets, and they're really weird looking, and they went out of business.
This sounds like the beginning of a horror movie.
Yeah.
like some guy's got
Hostel
the puppets.
Hostel 5,
yeah,
the butterfly
effect.
It's
like, hey, I just got these puppets from Mexico. What could happen? And then all of a sudden, the puppets come alive.
Yeah. Force you to do an elephant suck on yourself.
Oh. And then the elephant grabbed his penis. It morphed into his trunk, and he was joined. It looked like he had a skipping rope between his legs.
The giraffe became quite jealous as he could not reach his cock, as his head was millimeters, I'm sorry, feet above his penis.
Don't you mean inches?
Yes, I do.
Okay, steals my narrating voice. How dare you?
You are no Harlan Williams,
I
sir.
Know.
But the Brat videos, basically, they're like a minute long, and they're just, I thought it'd be really funny to have a family that communicated just with like phlegmy throats.
Yes.
So they rarely ever talk. Most of their conversation is like. That's how they sound. It's horrific.
Sounds like you're stepping on a velociraptor.
I know. It's just horrible. It sounds like a velociraptor achieving.
Butterfly. So when you see the puppets, where do you get the idea to create the... It's just something... I mean, I know that you love... Like, when we would shoot some of those flashlang videos up in Seattle, like, the props, like, I feel like when you find something out of the ordinary like that, out of the ordinary, it stirs the creative juices for you.
Yeah, I just like to grab like items and let a story revolve around that. Like we did a video with, I found some little ping pong rackets, and we went out and shot like a 4-minute video. like a ping pong rap tune.
Yeah.
But these rubber puppets, I just had them laying around, and they're rubber, so their faces are very expandable. Like they just stretch like crazy, and I started like making all these facial expressions, and their mouths open really wide. Yeah, and I thought, God, what kind of sound would come out of a mouth like that? And I just... You know, I thought, God, what if this family just communicated like that? That's how they talk to each other. And so that's the Brat Kids. I have a few more episodes coming up down the road. So subscribe to my YouTube channel.
Yeah,
you'll be able to see See all my
follow
wacky
the family's
videos.
Adventures.
Yeah.
This sounds like something that would be on like Adult Swim or something.
1,000%.
It's just like some crazy stuff.
Oh, really?
Stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah. You ever watch what's on Adult Swim? I mean, it's right up their alley, dude.
Oh, really?
And they got these like, you know, weird little 15-minute shows like that.
Huh. Well, maybe I got to get my arse in gear.
And we can cut this out if this is not something you want to get into, but the story you told me at the Comedy Store the other night, is there any possibility that we can rehash that?
Which, give me a hint before you say the whole thing.
I'll give you the keywords. Date, boat.
Oh, God.
Jump.
Oh, God.
Completely up to you if you actually want to. No names have to be mentioned. No.
You know what? It's still a little fresh, so if I come back and do the podcast, okay. Yeah. I'll know better if I can tell the
for
story
sure.
then.
Okay.
But,
no worries.
It was a very interesting way to end a date. Yeah.
in the meantime, we could talk about your the TV show that you're just on, Package Deal.
Oh, my sitcom.
Yeah.
It's a sitcom. Yeah. And what's cool is you just mentioned your show being on Hulu.
Yeah.
And my sitcom, it's a Canadian sitcom. So people were bummed because I would talk about it on my podcast and in interviews like this. And no one could see it because it was airing in across Canada.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a really fun multicam sitcom, and it looks like it's going to be on Hulu. We don't have the official word yet, but it looks like it's going to be there. So.
I know it's on the, I think it's City Channel?
City TV in Canada.
TV.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, do they have like streaming to where you could go to like a City TV website? And
you could, if you go on YouTube and type in Package Deal, City TV sitcom, you'll find it. And we actually had a really great time. The show came out really well. Really proud of it.
Yeah,
so.
You did two seasons so far.
Two seasons, yeah, yeah. And that's it. They pulled the plug.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. But that's okay. In TV and movie world, to even get one episode on the air.
No kidding.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think people listening know how much stuff
goes into it.
Gets made and never sees the light of day. Production meetings, pilots, you know, it's the odds of getting anything on TV or on the movie screen, you know, the longer I've been in Hollywood, the more ridiculous you realize how hard it is.
Yeah, so just to get anything out there, you're so thankful.
So to do two seasons, you know, of a sitcom and have a blast, it was just great.
You got to work with Eugene Levy.
Yeah.
He was a guest star frequently on the show. And, comedy legend as a whole, but then Canadian comedy legend, even more with the work on SCTV.
Yeah.
So have you met Eugene before?
Yeah, he must be a guy that you probably, I don't know if you were influenced by, but definitely like.
I loved him.
Yeah.
I loved him. I grew up on Second City, and we had a ritual. Me and my cousins up in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And we would go, and I think it was Saturday night. Second City would come on. And we would go up the street to the Moon Glow Chinese restaurant.
What'd you call me?
Moon Glow Chinese restaurant. You've heard it before. You've seen the tramp stamp. And we would order like chicken balls and honey fried shrimp.
Chicken balls.
Chicken chow mein. In Canada, they have chicken balls. They're like little round
like balls
with a chunk of chicken in the middle with sweet and sour sauce.
Oh, my God.
Delish.
I mean, I think we just call those nuggets here, but they're more flat. Like
nope, these were round, and just at the Chinese restaurants they had them, and it was a specific kind of dough they wrapped them in, so it has very specific flavor. Delish.
They really are the most creative with foods.
Oh yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah,
take that, Burger King, and your chicken fries.
Yeah.
That's
old news.
Wow.
Shots fired.
So yeah, we would do its ritual where we'd go get the Moon Glow Chinese food, and we'd park ourselves in front of the TV and watch Second City and Eugene Levy. Oh my God, he had so many funny characters. Bruno, Bobby Bittman, Sid Dithers.
Dithers?
Sid Dithers was a security guard at Second City,
mm-hmm.
and he was kind of like a real kind of, you know, moron, basically, but he was watching the whole building, and there was Rockin' Mel Slurup, who hosted a disco show. You can see videos on and then they did one of my favorites, the Five Neat Guys, where all the guys, John Candy, Eugene Levy, Dave Thomas,
No kidding.
Who else? All those
Rick
guys.
Moranis?
Rick Moranis and the big guy. My favorite guy, too.
Daniel Stern? No.
No, not Daniel
Oprah?
Stern. Not Oprah. Close. Close. But anyways, the Five Neat Guys, they were a kind of a doo-wop band from the 40s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they would sit there and they'd sing songs like, "Who made the egg salad sandwiches?" You know, stuff like that.
It's so fascinating to hear, and because we're now in a generation where you don't have moments like that where you go with your friends and you're like, "Hey, this show is on. Let's all gather together.
Yeah,
let's like come together." Now it's all entertainment on your own time, and then you maybe talk about it on social media. But like when I was in college, all the dorms would gather together and watch. This is gonna make me sound kind of dorky, but don't care. We would watch The OC. Back when the OC show was on,
Like the new Beverly Hills 90210.
Exactly. So we would all watch together, and it's always more fun when you have that group of people in there. The same
it's
way,
an event.
Yeah, the same way it's more fun to see a movie in a packed house or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we just don't have that nowadays.
Yeah, it doesn't happen that often. I think maybe, you know, sporting events now with all the pay-per-view guys will come together. You've been up to the house for some UFC stuff.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
But it's I've never invited you up to do like a marathon like
Gilmore
Girls. Yeah.
Well,
or maybe Golden Girls.
Well, I mean, if you say Golden Girls, I'd be there in a flash.
Yeah, we should do that. We should plan that out since we're here now. Let's commit to that this weekend.
I'm in.
Gilmore Girls and Knight Rider.
Done.
Done.
That's a killer.
Wait,
that's a DVD combo.
Please say the original, not Knight Rider, not the thing.
Original, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
And I can FedEx some Moon Glow if you guys want some chicken balls.
If that's actually a possibility, I'll pay top dollar for that.
Oh, you like the Moon Glow restaurant? We got a fresh chicken ball, funny guy.
Wait a minute, it's an Italian restaurant?
Yeah.
Hey, you come to Moon Glow restaurant, we have a nice chicken ball for you.
Jesus.
It's so good.
We went in there one day, me and my cousin Chris, who's like the funniest guy I know. We went in and we were like busting them up a little bit. We were like, "Hey, you got the chicken balls today? The big, big chicken balls." You'll get out of here right now. He didn't fall for it for a beat. And then my other cousin, there was a chocolate bar up in Canada called Choco Lotto.
Wait, a what now? Chocolate bar, like an actual I thought a chocolate bar like you go to that's open till 2 a.m.
Wow. No, a chocolate bar.
I was getting really excited, like a chocolate bar.
Wow.
What? That sounds unbelievable.
Somebody still hasn't totally recovered from being fired from the Wonka factory.
I can dream, man. Those were good times, me and me mates.
Just hanging out,
shiver me timbers. We would sing songs and punt children out of the factory. It was a good time. You don't know true happiness till you've rolled an overly bloated young girl who's filled with blueberry juice out a door. Oh, that's a good time. Oh, the times we had
that
there.
She had a big butterfly shrimp.
Whoa.
That wasn't even a butterfly shrimp. That was more like a giant squid.
Oh, wow.
Jesus.
Backwards.
I'm never taking a girl's pants off again.
Oh, wow.
Did you ever... That you say, like, you guys were like messing with the owner of the Moonrise Hotel, or what was it called again?
Moon Glow Restaurant. But Sunshine's this other Kingdom. Place, the variety store, had the Choco Lottos.
Yeah.
And it was
a
chocolate bar that you opened up and you could win some money. Like, it was like a lottery ticket and a chocolate bar rolled into one.
What?
Holy crap.
It was called Choco Lotto. So my cousin Mike. He won like $20. He unwrapped it, and the guy who ran the little variety store was an Asian guy. And my cousin Mike went up and goes, "Hey, I won $20 with Choco Lotto." And the guy, "You get out of here!" And he slapped my cousin in the head.
What?
And so my uncle Pat, who's like 9 feet tall, had to go over to the store and like have words with this guy. He slapped my cousin for winning a Choco Lotto.
Why? He thought he was fucking with him?
No, he didn't want to pay him, so he slapped a kid.
It was a simpler time back then.
It was.
You could just slap a kid.
Getting Choco Lotto. Get out of here. Slap. geek, you know, with your chocolate bar.
He said
bar.
Slap when he slapped the kid.
Slap.
Oh, yeah. Well, he had to narrate his actions. Yeah, yeah. It totally made sense. Wow.
Did you pull pranks like that, though, at any stage in life in comedy? Because I feel like every comic has some sort of, like, I used to pull in fourth grade, like, the whoopee cushion on the teacher's chair or the ice cube with a fly in it or... I used to prank call people as girls in class that they had crushes on because I was fat and the girls didn't like me, so I would prank call my buddies the girls.
Yeah.
So like I would prank call sports radio stations in Seattle. So did you do any of that?
Yeah. I did a lot of that, man. Me and my buddies, we did an epic one that took like, I think it looked 2 weeks of planning.
Wow. Those are the best.
And we
it's like
we
the Ocean's
got into
11
one
of
those,
pranks.
Yeah, we went into those Salvation Army clothes drop boxes. Yeah. You ever seen those? They used to have a lot more of them, but now they don't. And we'd go at night and we'd climb in them and just take out garbage bags full of clothes. And we went to my garage and we made about 25 scarecrows. We went to one of my buddy's houses in the middle of the night, like at 2 in the morning, and we just hammered like all these scarecrows all over his front lawn. It was crazy.
Holy crap.
So he's waking up to just...
Yeah, they went nuts. But I used to do a lot of stuff when, you know, way before kids had their hands on video cameras. Yeah. I used to go, you know, giving my age up a little bit here, but no one had video cameras.
Yeah.
And you used to be able, when they first came around, you used to be able to go to like AV stores and you could rent them.
Right.
For like $200 for a weekend. It was crazy. They give you a big battery pack that lasted about 35 minutes and it weighed about 6 pounds.
Yeah. Jesus.
And you had to have it attached to the video camera.
Right, which is like a bazooka on your shoulder.
Exactly. And it was one of those cameras that any time you moved it, the light streaks would flow across.
Yeah.
And so I was out and I would take all the money I had and rent these cameras and I was doing like Tom Green Jackass style stuff.
Hell
before
yeah.
You know, 15 years before this stuff ever happened.
Oh,
I would
shit.
I would go out and I'd go up to malls and I'd interview people with a carrot. I'd instead of a microphone, I'd ask them, you know, questions and ask. They'd get them to speak into the carrot, and
they would still talk into it.
Yeah, because people when they see a camera, they you know, people get freaked, especially back then.
Right.
And so, if you have a mic, there's a comfort level there because they're like, all right, at least even though like they knew it was a carrot, hopefully.
Yeah.
But
they would talk into it.
You still have the setup of like something that seems like a normal interview.
And I used to get my buddy, I'd get him in a suit, and I'd get a briefcase, and we'd fill it up with just blank papers. And we'd find the busiest intersection in town, and I'd tell him to wait till the light turned yellow and then start walking across with his thumb holding the briefcase shut. You know, the latch is open.
Yeah.
And I said, when you get to the middle of the intersection, let the briefcase flop open and let all the papers fly. And it was great because Canadians are so polite. Everyone would stop and you'd have people running all over the internet trying to grab his papers. And I'm hiding in the car filming it.
Was anything on the papers?
No, it was just blank stuff.
So then you got people picking him up being like, wait a second.
And they felt so bad for him. And so I was doing these types of pranks, but back then there was no editing equipment. There was no...
Just
so
one take.
I just had to let it go, you know?
And then, because then you didn't have any... It's not like you could post it anywhere.
Yeah, you couldn't post it.
You just have your friends and you laugh about it.
Yeah, so I mean, if I was born like, you know, 15 years later, I probably would have been right in on the whole Jackass. Me and Tom Green probably would have got married, you know? we would have just caused so much trouble.
Yeah. That's a... So when you see him, when you saw him like come out with his stuff then too, I mean, and then you guys are good buds now too.
Yeah.
You became friends up in Canada, yeah?
Me and Tom first met, we did a movie called Superstar together. And that was, I think that was Tom's first movie, I think. I'd never heard of the guy. And me and Tom and Will Ferrell and Molly Shannon, we were all out there, you know, we'd be in the street like getting ready for a scene. And all of a sudden, all the Toronto kids, and they'd be ignoring everyone else, and they'd be going, Tom Green. Mm-hmm. And I was like, who is this guy? Yeah. Like, I wasn't aware of his show. I didn't know who he was.
And this was before MTV when he just had the...
This was pre-MTV.
Yeah,
this
he just had the public access show at that point.
Yeah, and he might have just sold it to MTV. I'm not sure. But at anyways, he was just starting, and I had no idea who he was. And then we became friends on that movie, and we've been friends ever since. But I didn't have a clue who he was.
Did you tell him that kind of how what you were doing? I mean, does that ever come up that you were like, man, I was doing what...
No, because it's like what I was doing was half-assed, and he's the master. I got to hand it to Tom. I mean, he took it and he took it to the right place. What I was doing was kind of just half-assed because I had no idea there was a market for it.
Right.
Had I known, or if the right equipment existed to be able to market it would have been a whole different thing. But Tom came in at a point in time just at the right time where he was able to market his madness. And,
absolutely. Like we all,
brilliant.
I think we all watched that. I know I was in high school, Adam, you probably were too. And then when Tom Green came out, we all just kind of looked at each other like, this is what we do.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
This is the stuff that we do. And this guy's now getting paid for it.
Yeah.
He's on TV.
Yeah.
What the hell?
And then
there was all the copycats, but they already had their Tom Green. They already had their Jackass. We're like, well, that's it. That's all we got.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like everybody. I mean, I feel like there's like I even used to do when I worked at a grocery store in Seattle. Like I would take my buddies and I. They would come down late when I was working at like 10 or later, and we would like interview the customers that were in line that were shopping late, like what they were like buying.
Yeah,
and then we would shoot like little shorts in the grocery store. Like we would have like little the motorized carts that they had for people who couldn't like walk.
Sure,
needed like baskets. We'd have cart races. And then, like, we were like almost like a supermarket sweep type thing where we would shoot these like shitty, like fake game shows in the grocery store.
Yeah.
And there were no cameras yet in the store. So, like, our bosses never knew we were doing it. And then finally, there was one guy who ratted us out. And
bastard.
But, like, still, like, that type of just like trying to get, creative with your surroundings. I mean, like, did you find a difference, like, when you got to the States from Canada, like, the, I don't know, just the comedy vibe?
The comedy vibe here was a lot more blatant. Like, it was a lot more, smash over your head. Kind of a good comparison would be SNL and Second City that we were talking about earlier. Second City was more subtle. It was more character studies. That it wasn't so much like hard, like, Jane, you ignorant slut. It was more like... It was more like a real kind of quieter, like, the comedy came out of facial expressions and softer things, but still as funny, whereas I found American comedy was way more like, John Belushi, like, popping his zit face and the samurai guy, like, loud and boisterous. And so I found American stand-up and comedy in general to be a lot more that way, whereas Canadian comedy seemed to have a little more like quieter texture to it.
Is that because they just maybe trusted the Canadian people that they were going to get stuff a little more? Like there's more like...
I think it came from because, Canada's part of the Commonwealth, and so I think there was we had a lot of British influence in our TV shows and our culture. And,
yeah, because Monty Python's more like that, too.
Monty Python and those types of shows, so there was a lot of that saturated in the Canadian sensibility. Humor.
I just thought it would be because you guys are so polite, you don't want to be that loud.
That's probably part of it, too. That's why Tom was an anomaly, because it was kind of shocking to see a Canadian kid being so brazen, and it was kind of cool. But what amazes me about all these pranksters is what's always fascinating to me is how they always seem to find a mark.
Yeah.
Like that, I could walk up to someone with a carrot, or you could walk up to someone and do something outrageous, and there's always someone who doesn't get it.
Yeah,
which always scares me a little bit.
Right,
like it's always like, wait. There's a guy dressed as a donkey, and he was asking you to put Vaseline
in your butterfly shrimp.
Yeah. And it's like,
absolutely.
And you don't get it that maybe this is like some kind of setup. Like, it always fascinates me that people get suckered into it. And I go, wow.
There will never be a shortage of suckers.
I know.
Ever.
But I look at older people. A lot of times they get older people, and I go, at one point, that older person was probably young. and snappy.
Well, most likely they were.
Probably. You know, yeah, you know. Probably a good chance.
I'll put
chance.
Money on that.
Yeah, I'll put some.
Unless I got that Benjamin Button disease.
Yeah, that's right.
About it.
Jesus, Brad.
Too soon?
Yeah, man. Come on.
But, they were probably troublemakers at one time. Yeah. They were probably hip. They were into that young energy, and they were aware of the prankster sensibility in school. How do they not know? Like, it amazes me that people, like, when you do a crank call on a phone call,
mm-hmm.
like, yeah, I'm calling from the sewage department. We got to come and take your toilet. And someone's like, I didn't call anybody. Like, I don't know how people don't know.
I think maybe there's just too much to concern yourself with, that little things like that come about, we just, like, assume that unless, but even if you're, like, 85, those are the people that get swindled. And it's like, you have so little to concern yourself with.
Right.
So the toilet, you should know whether or not you have a toilet problem or not.
Yeah, right.
Because that's probably where you're spending most of your time.
Oh, boy. There we go.
Because it's like the, Jimmy Kimmel has this great bit that he does called Lie Witness News. Where,
right, I've seen that.
Yeah, where he just tells people, like, hey, did you hear?
Yeah.
Oprah just gave
shat
out
Fig Newtons.
Yeah, she just shat Fig Newtons. Would you eat a Fig Newton that Oprah shat? And they're like, yeah, well, I saw that story.
I hope she's okay.
Right. Yeah. They just go along with it because no one wants to be the guy on camera that doesn't know what's going on.
Right. Isn't that crazy? Even with, like, really just crazy information like that. Like, it's like, it's perfectly fine to be like, I didn't hear about that. But it's like, maybe it's because of the how much is available, like, information wise, mm-hmm. that there's almost like no excuse to not know about, like, when that's why people get defensive when it's like, did you hear that new fucking, you know, Pitbull song? And you're like, no. And it's like, dude, it's on every commercial. It's like, I don't have cable, but it's like on every radio station.
Yeah.
I don't listen to the radio really. But dude, Pitbull's. But it's Pitbull. And you're like, I mean, I don't fucking, why should I? It's a dog that sings?
Yeah.
And you're like, no, it's a guy. Why did he name himself after a dog? Well, because Shih Tzu was already taken by a Norwegian.
Shih Tzu.
Everyone knows that rapper. He's strong.
Shih Tzu the rapper, yeah.
Would you? Wow. Was music ever a possibility in your career ever?
In my career?
Yeah.
I mean, I have a hobby band, so.
Wait, what? Do you really?
Are you joking? Oh, yeah, I have a hobby band. My cousin's in the Bare Naked Ladies.
I know that.
And so mm-hmm. we've had a hobby band for years called The Cousins.
I had no idea about
this. Oh, you didn't know that?
I know a lot of facts about you, man.
Oh, okay.
I feel like we're pretty good friends. I had no idea you had a hobby band.
Yeah.
This is like the wife finding out her husband likes to do calligraphy on Sundays.
Oh, right. Nice. Yeah, we've actually done some tours together. We have a CD out.
No kidding?
We have a few videos. If you go on YouTube, you can actually...
After I watch the Screaming Puppet Fridge Kids.
What
do you play in the band?
I sang, believe it or not.
You're the singer?
Yeah, he's brilliant with music. I mean, Kevin's he can play a million instruments. He can engineer everything. So I kind of come up with the sound of the song, and I tell him what I'm hearing, and I'll sing. I'll write the lyrics, and then he kind of fills in the music, and we throw down a bunch of.
Now, do you try to do anything funny, or do you guys do it seriously?
Believe it or not, we've done a few funny things, but most of the stuff we release is like kind of. We try to do a good job, like it's like cheesy love songs, you know, like Roy Orbison, like kind of broken heart kind of love songs.
Harlan Williams, are you a crooner?
I try, man.
I got to be honest. The lyrics to One Week, Chickadee China, the Chinese Chicken, like sounds like a Harlan Williams rant in a bit.
It does. And there's a few lines in there, too, that I feel like they may have referenced my humor.
For sure.
Yeah, there's a line about Swiss Chalet chicken, and that's a chicken. I used to reference that all the time in my act and in my life. That was like my running gag, and I think those guys might have.
Would they come see you doing comedy a lot?
Oh yeah, and I've worked with them. I've been on stage with them, and I did one of their rock videos. I'm the lead in one of their rock videos. I forget which one, but
that's it. I mean, I don't know if we've totally gotten into my appreciation for Bare Naked Ladies in our friendship, but that for sure, like you. For sure, put them in my top 10 favorite bands.
Oh, cool. Yeah, they're a ton of fun.
When they really popped, and, you know, like every band has their time, you know? Like you get your time. And when they had their time, I could not have been more about the Bare Naked Ladies.
Yeah, they were a ton of fun. Yeah, they're really energetic.
We're cleaning up the U.S. radio airwaves. I mean, like yeah. every oh, other yeah. song was, yeah. it was like
between 1 week. It's between all been 1 week. Done.
It's all been done.
Oh yeah.
I mean, what's the slower one? Where there's an underwear joke in the line where it's like, dun, 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 oh. underwear. I just made you think underwear.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh God,
what's that called?
I don't know.
It's
that.
Called like butterfly shrimp.
I wonder if that's the one I did the video to.
Is it?
It might be.
I'll find it out. I loved how, like, first of all, their melodies
kiss
were.
Kiss me.
Yep.
That's what it is.
Kiss me.
Yeah. Are you singing the song or are you just talking about things you want from Brad right now?
No, I would have said, butterfly me. Butterfly me. For sure. For sure. Yeah. So we have a blast. We're actually getting together this September to cut a new album.
Oh, oh man.
Yeah, so.
That's awesome. Because I've heard you sing in bits on stage when I've been on the road with you. And,
right.
And every time you do it, I'm like, hey, man, he's jokingly singing right now, but he's in tune and it sounds great.
Yeah. I love it, man. I love it. We just have such a good time.
It's, like what kind of music is it?
It's kind of like I said, kind of like cheesy, like pop tunes, but sometimes I throw a curveball. Last summer, we were up at Kevin's studio,
mm-hmm.
and it was late, and I said, dude, just go, turn the mic on, I'm going into the booth, and I started doing like a rave song called Power Pound, and the song was called I Want to Power Pound Your Face. And
was this directed towards anyone specific?
No. And what's funny is I don't even know what it means.
Maybe the owner of the fucking Mongoose Memorial Restaurant.
You'll get your chocolato and power pound your face. Chicken ball. But we did this crazy like kind of, you know, I don't know what it's like a club rave. And we just stayed up all night, it's and we best. Had his engineer, and we mm-hmm. were just laughing our asses off. It was just so.
Isn't the best to like make funny music when you, especially in a setting where it's professional like that, in a great studio with people that are doing it, and then you're like, yeah. I mean, I think there is something to be said about. I mean, they say like all comedians want to be rock stars, right? And vice versa. Is that true with Kevin? Like, is he a funny dude? Does he like?
He's funny, but no, he mm-hmm. he was born and wired to be a musician. Yeah. He yeah. has a great sense of humor. We've done some. Really funny things together too, but no, he's wired to be a music guy for sure. But
have you gotten to kick it with some other musical artists because of just being tied to him?
Just the ladies mostly. Yeah, because he's always on tour and I'm right. always mm-hmm. on tour. I'm sure I've met a few. I think I met Alanis Morissette through them and a few other people, but. Yeah, not...
She's Canadian, too.
Yeah, she is, yeah.
I met her drunk at a party once. I was with the same management company she was.
Oh, boy.
And it was a holiday party. And I'll say it right now. I got a big crush on Morissette.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, she had that one video where she was naked the entire video.
What video was that?
I don't know. She's all I ever had. I don't know. What? No, it was... What was that video?
Ironic. Or moronic.
Or... No, she had a video where she was like naked the entire video. How about...
I don't like the rain or something. The Brazilian. What is it?
Oh, damn it. I got to look this up. How am I fucking chapped? This up?
Is that it?
It was My Pussy's Chapped by Lance Morissette. It was a top 10 hit.
Wait, probably not the right week to be naked. Of all the weeks to shoot a naked video, she had a chapped pussy. Poor girl. Bad timing. Nature's cruel that way.
Nature's cruel. It doesn't think about your chapped pussy. It goes, look, you got work to do.
Yeah.
And you're like, well... Maybe you find me on a day with a smooth pussy.
I have to know this. I'm not
see
crazy.
If I can find one of my songs out here.
It's called Thank You.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
I meet Alanis at the party, and she's dating at the time a hockey player, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I go up to her, and I got pretty liquored up at this party, right? It's a holiday party.
Yeah.
I just got with this management company. I was feeling good. I see Alanis Morissette there. I see the guy who played Chunk from the Goonies. I see David Krumholtz. And I go up to her and I say, big fan. I go, actually, your music was playing on the 90s station on Sirius on my drive over here. She goes, that's awesome. I go, it's awesome. It's also ironic. And she looks at me. She goes, oh. she just sighed at me. Her, I was so, I you know. It.
This is the video.
Where she's naked?
Yeah.
Don't you ever worry about your pussy being chapped.
Chapped. Oh.
Do you have any ointment for my shrimp? Butterfly.
Yeah. See, I'm not crazy.
No, you're not crazy.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just going to rock out over here for a second.
All right. Well, heart's pulling up, I think.
I'm going to see if I can find one of these kooky songs on here.
Is it weird that I would assume that your hobby in your hobby band, you would be playing something like the bassoon? Or the
just
or
like
the
some or crazy the instrument,
some great woodwind instrument. I feel like
no, that's the thing. I don't
that
play. I don't
in a
play
Dr.
anything.
Seuss book.
I don't play anything. I wish I could. Here's Power Pound.
Yes. Oh my God! It's the About Last Night podcast premiere.
Oh yeah! Get out your glow sticks, kids. Steve Aoki, you could suck it. So I can power pound your face. Please tell me that's actually you making those little noises.
No.
Oh, okay. It just seems like you could.
That's the rave.
That's
song.
The rave version of Power. What? Like you got like you guys do kind of standard music, and then you thought to yourself, you know what? Rave, EDM. Let's cash in on this.
Have you been to raves ever? Because that sounds like the club kids, quite honestly, would lose their minds over that.
Yeah, I know. We wanted to make a video and put it out there.
Oh, God, how do you got to, man?
Yeah.
Those club scenes are. Last time I was in Vancouver doing stand-up was the last time I went to a real club.
Yeah.
My buddy who lives out there took me to one. His buddy owns. And literally was songs like that that built and built and built.
Yeah,
until,
I love it.
And
when
the kids
the bass drop?
Are on. And I wasn't on next to your ass drop? Or anything. I might have had like six Capri Suns. So I was feeling good is my point. But I was, but you know, it builds and builds. And then there's just an explosion. And people lose their minds.
What? Keep going. This is a song where I'm actually singing.
Okay. Oh, God. Yes, come on.
Give you a little taste.
What's the name of this one?
This one's called Broken Angel.
Broken Angel.
Yeah.
City lights are burning.
Ooh.
Night is falling down.
I think I'm gonna light some more candles.
Eyes of blue and silver, baby.
Ooh.
Neon all around. Sitting on the curbside. Dreams of a life so grand.
I'm into it.
Just a little child playing.
All right, whoever directed the
there
Spin Doctors video needs to come and direct that.
Oh, that's great.
As we feel. That's
got
good.
A great guitar riff behind
it.
Oh, yeah. Kevin's, it's dude, so that fun because it's one of those chemistry things where we just know what we want from each other, and we just create these kooky little tunes like really quickly. It's
and
fun.
Like, because there has to be that give and take. Now, but do you feel like comfortable making like a musical suggestion?
Oh,
like,
yeah. And he comes to me for that because I can't play, but I go, Kev, I want it to sound like dun 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 dun.
And he just knows how to do that.
Yeah, like that's like with Power Pound, he'd never done a rave song in his life.
Yeah.
And I was like, Kev, it needs to go dun 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 dun. Dun, 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 you know, just keep escalating.
Yeah, but
he found it. He did it.
But that's how
like,
those things get built. Like, I mean, in every, like, I mean, Michael Jackson, I'm sure for, like, you know, Beat It was like, it's going to be like,
special.
You know, but, you know, but he probably was like, it'll be like, dun, 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 dun.
Yeah,
right? Like,
it's great. It's
what
my favorite part of the process because you build a song. You know, you start off with simple things. It's almost like making a meal. And you go, let's add in some keyboards. And then Kevin will go, you know what? Go sing the lyrics. You've already sung the master lyric track. Now go in and listen to yourself in the cans and then sing again over yourself, but an octave higher.
Yeah.
And I go, why would you tell me to do that? And so I'll be up an octave, and then he goes, he'll come in and marry them together, and my whole voice will sound complete. He goes, Har, the Rolling Stones did this on almost every song. And I was like, really? And
holy
you can
crap.
Hear the difference. Like, he just knows all these engineering tricks, and it fascinates me. If I could spend all day in a studio making songs, I would love it.
Har, yeah. I love that you say that because I'm in the exact same way.
Isn't it fun?
I have so many. Oh. I've done. We're going to have to, next time we kick it, really, like, I'm going to have to show you some of the shit. Maybe we have to get into a studio together. I think that's the next
move. Yeah, that'd be great.
Because I'm the exact same way. Some of these songs straight out of college, I took all these
acoustic songs that I wrote when I sophomore year of college.
Do you play?
Yeah.
Oh,
I picked
cool.
up guitar.
I didn't know that about you.
See?
Here we go.
We're all learning.
And so,
holy moly, Ringwald grease.
So I took this all these acoustic songs, mm-hmm. and I basically dropped a little bit of cash and went to the studio in OC through a buddy of mine and spent 6 months in the studio.
Oh, you lucky devil. I love that.
And like the music, the guy, like, definitely for, you know, and it wasn't totally cheap, but it wasn't, but he definitely like hooked me up with like his services. But some of the music is so dope. All the music is dope. Yeah. And obviously the verses are a little sophomoric. Like a lot of the songs are, you know, there's one called Lesbians. There's one called Blue Balls.
Wow.
There's one called...
well, hey, you write about what you know.
Elephant has blue balls.
There's one called...
Sucking on his nuts all night in the Kalahari.
That's how you know the male from the female. The balls are blue.
There's one...
Yes, the female's balls remain pink.
Up until now, I had no clue the female even had male genitalia. But this is what you learn in the Kalahari.
It's hanging on her face. The female elephant doesn't have tusks. She has testicles.
This is... All right, we're laughing, but again, this is a documentary.
It's too soon. Yeah.
No, I want to see it.
Yeah.
All right. We got to wrap this up.
Great, finally. I've been dying to get to Chick-fil-A. Are you kidding? Wow, you guys are just so long-winded. I mean, boy, oh boy.
You said 10 minutes and I got a chicken tender brigade sandwich.
Now he's going to Chick-fil-A because nothing makes a chicken sandwich taste better than homophobia.
Oh, I've been a power pound of Chick-fil-A. I always thought that would be the, you know, I got to wonder if like a serial killer's favorite restaurant is... Chick-fil-A. Like he's driving down the road and he sees a big sign that says Chick-fil-A.
Oh, sliced up woman is what he hears.
Right, yeah. Took you a while, but thanks for getting there.
Oh, Jesus.
Thanks for taking an Uber to my joke. Yeah,
thank you, Adam, for pointing it out. Yeah. I was like, Chick-fil-A.
There couldn't have been a better breakdown of American versus Canadian comedy right there.
Right there.
Yeah, because we're like, where's the guy that you punched in the balls, or else I don't think it's funny.
The elephant sucks his own wiener
See,
his
there
face
we go.
Caves
yes.
him.
A dick
I'm
joke.
I'm from the States.
Now we know what that is. Chick-fil-A. That was too smart for us.
No. It took me one. Thanks for taking an Uber to my punchline. Oh God! Didn't even get gum on that ride.
The podcast is called the Harlan Highway.
Oh yeah, yeah, my own podcast called the Harlan Highway.
Yeah, everyone should go and subscribe and listen.
Yeah, thank you. It's two Mondays and Thursdays, twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually about half an hour or 30 minutes. I do a lot of voices, a lot of characters, and. Yeah, please check it out at harlanwilliams.com or iTunes.
In a world saturated with podcasts, it's one of the best because it's original from all the rest.
Thank you.
We think we do a pretty good job here, but guess what? There's a lot of podcasts like us that talk to people. But yours is sitting by itself on Podcast
thank you. Well,
Island.
The latest one I did a call-in. I got a call-in from Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple.
Holy shit.
And, well, I do the voice. I do his voice.
Okay.
I do the voice. But Tim Cook called in and was telling me about the new iWatch, how you can watch your friend or your partner's heartbeat on the watch. And while he was giving a keynote address, he had his father on his iWatch monitoring his heart, and his father had a massive heart attack. And Tim was talking about how it reminded him of a little boy watching the Northern Lights when he was camping, the wonderful colors that were splashing across the watch while his father writhed on the floor, his hands locked in velociraptor claws as he died. So, yeah, check it out, the Harlan Highway.
Harlan Highway.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then subscribe to the YouTube channel.
Watch
Harlan run with crabs.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
You got to do
that
more
didn't
of those.
Sound right. That sounded,
change up your verbiage.
Yeah, you'll get out of here. You'll go run with crabs.
You'll run with crab. I hit you with Choco Lotto, chicken ball. A power pound your face. Give you a butterfly.
Harlan, thanks so much for coming.
Hey,
man.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, great buddy. To see you. Hey, can I give your guys a show a plug?
Yeah, sure. You could plug
listen
our podcast.
Listen to this podcast, gang.
Thanks, Harlan.
Before we're gonna isolate
we're
that
back.
Audio.
We're back.
I just if otherwise we'll end where we ended. But
yeah.
But sometimes we end the podcast by, we've been talking about pranks. There's a Thai restaurant that I order from every so often, right?
Sure.
And every now and then we prank call them, all right? Okay. Ari Spears did it as DMX.
Sure.
A buddy of ours did it as Jeff Bridges.
Sure.
We've had it done a handful of times.
Sure, mm-hmm. sure.
Would you want to do it right now?
Sure, yeah. Dial it up, man.
Fantastic.
How do we do it? Is it on speakerphone?
I'm going to call. You're going to hold the phone up to the mic and then talk into it. And I'd say do it as you, or you can... Maybe not do it as the voice of the disgruntled Chocolato place.
Oh, as I get you don't fight fire with fire. Is that what you're telling me?
So just hold that baby up. I give him a lot of business, so don't feel bad about anything that happens. They apparently don't want business.
Bastards.
It's 8 o'clock.
Oh.
This is prime time.
Oh, boy. Hello? 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 Hi. Are you watching TV? What are you watching? Oh, my God. Is that a Western? I'm just trying to order some food, and I got confronted with an old Western cowboy movie. Oh, my God. It sounds great. Oh, hi. How are you? Hello? You're not even talking to me. You're talking to a customer. You're ignoring the phone, and you're talking to someone live. And I've got a cowboy movie.
Sorry.
Hi. Hi, I'm feeling ignored.
Okay, like
Hi.
Hi, right?
Okay, you're taking someone else's order, and I was clearly here first. Really upset. Was going to leave you a Bitcoin tip, and now I'm not.
Okay.
Hi.
What the fuck?
Really great customer service. Really this close to going to Chick-fil-A. Had a taste for the Orient tonight, but now I'm thinking Chick-fil-A. Gonna get it. Oh my
God. Did you say Obama?
Obama, right.
We don't have hot tea.
I think they have Obama rice.
I don't think they know I'm there. Should we call them back?
Let's try again.
I think so.
Wow. Well, we'll cut that out. No, we'll leave all that in. All
right.
Good first attempt. All right, here we go.
Take two.
Wow, that was
Jesus.
Radical.
How do you just pick up and just leave you?
Yeah, just hang and don't they know who I am?
Oh, so the phone's off the hook. No
way. Does it sound weird like a nuclear bomb's coming? It's like we were just talking to them and now,
Yeah.
Like something's going on with Russia right now.
Here we go. See if it works this time.
I'm getting a bad vibe again.
That should kickstart it.
Well, she better not punk me again. Here we go.
Oh my.
Hi, how are you?
Hello, can I help you?
Hi, could I?
Oh,
please don't yell at me. I'm very sensitive. Hi.
Hello, can I help you?
Yes, could I order some food, please?
Okay, picking up delivery.
Well, you're going to have to pick it up and cook it, and then I'll come in and pick it up there. Is that okay?
Okay, what would you like?
I want some shrimp. Do you have shrimp?
Yes.
Okay, I need a very specific kind of shrimp. Not honey garlic, not sweet and sour. I need butterfly shrimp. Okay, could I get...
Shrimp with garlic.
No, not with garlic. I need butterfly shrimp. Okay.
Butterfly shrimp? We don't have butterfly shrimp.
Well, could you make some special for me?
One second, please.
Well, it's going to take longer than that.
Oh boy, where can a guy get some butterfly shrimp on a rainy Wednesday night? Oh my god. Oh my god. I was butterflied.
You were butterflied, which is the name of Harlan's new prank show that's going to be airing on MTV.
Where he just shows up and spreads his
come
eagle
my
quad.
Baby. Come my baby. Come my baby. Come.
As you're showing your butterfly shrimp.
Yeah.
You just sing that song.
You just got butterflied.
You just got shrimp.
Well, I mean, that's what I say when I have sex with a woman.
Oh.
I do.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
very nice.
And so, that's what she says when he comes.
Oh, look at that.
Wow.
Ooh, who knew?
I didn't know.
Shiver me timbers.
So, that's the show.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamy Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.